The Shroud of Turin has been an object of interest for a long time, and it's figured in many literary treatments. Books about religious objects are always popular. One thinks of books like The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, and of course, you can do all kinds of interesting things with something like the Shroud. Our guest Daniel Westland is an author who has explored this. He has a book called Stolen Shroud, and it sounds like a thriller. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Oh, awesome. Thank you for having me, Bill.
What's your story about?
Well, that's a good question. So, like the title says, Stolen Shroud. Basically, you've got this main character who, he's actually in the Sistine Chapel, and they are about to do scientific tests on the Shroud of Turin, which have been done back in the 70s and 80s, but it's been a while. And so, in the story, they decide, let's try some of these new tests. Well, the Shroud of Turin ends up getting stolen, and our main character is the person who witnesses this. So starts out where he's only one who can try to recover it. And when that doesn't work out, then the people who stole it know that he knows about them. And so then they start going after him and chaos ensues. So that's what it's about on the surface.
Now, these kinds of stories always provide opportunities to explore the intricate workings of the church and the whole religious culture behind it. I would imagine that you probably get into a lot of those details.
I had to do some studying about how the church worked, but it's more personal in this case. What's going on is this main character is having a crisis of faith in his own personal life. And we start seeing that as we start flashing back to different things that are going on with him. And so it's really more about his personal faith. And I hope it would be applicable to people reading it if they've ever been through something like that or if they're going through something like that. Kind of his struggle. And so essentially the Shroud of Turin ends up kind of being a stand-in for his faith. So as he's trying to pursue it, he's trying to pursue answers in his own life in these flashbacks, and it kind of all comes to a head at the end.
How much of this reflects your own personal religious perspective? No author can leave his history behind. I'm sure that experiences played a part.
Pretty much all of it. So where it kind of came from, I was going through a time of questioning in my own life, and I would ask God a question and research something, and two more questions would pop up with the answer, and it was just playing whack-a-mole, and I was getting, frustrated. And I had this thought in the middle of this time, which was, if I pull out of this, I want to write a book where the main character goes through some struggles and becomes disillusioned, which that's not unique in literature. But then in my case, in the end, I want the character to find the answers he's looking for. And I don't know a lot of places that that's been done. And so I came to a point in my life where I asked God a question, I was researching something, and when he gave me the answer, I felt like he told me, okay, you're done with this part. You've got this. And I felt like I had a knowing deep inside me. And when I did, I just had this book kind of burning inside me. I didn't know what it was going to be about. I didn't know it was going to be about the Shroud of Turin, but I knew I wanted to write it. And that's kind of where it came from. So yeah, absolutely. A lot of the stuff is just straight from things I went through.
Did the Shroud specifically play a part in your own personal religious quest?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I mean, so I watched this documentary. It's called The Fabric of Time. And if anyone, I'm sure it's just out there on YouTube, if anyone wants to check it out. So I had already, gotten solved in my faith. And I saw this documentary, and it just gave me so many ideas. And one of them was, the way it kind of started was, well, the Shroud turns out there and I'd love for it to be tested, but what if someone were to deface it, steal it, destroy it, whatever? And then that's where the plot kind of came from. I mean, I would say the Shroud is if you have a scale of, you know, doubt on one side and faith on the other, the Shroud for me is a big weight on the faith side, but it's not necessarily what, you know, played a part in me, you know, coming to faith or coming back to faith.
It is impressive. I've had the opportunity to see some displays. I've never
really
seen the actual Shroud itself, but there are a number of displays. One includes a dimensional model that was made from computer projections off the image and that sort of thing. And when you see something like that, it's very effective. It's hard to be skeptical.
So here's what we were emailing before. I was thinking about this because one of the things you're talking about is like how if symbols play a part in what you do. And to me, like the Shroud of Turin is almost a symbol. Like in my book, it's a symbol for Christianity. But really in real life, it almost is, because you have a physical object that has this unexplainable image of Christ on it. And really, to me, the only way you can explain it is that, you know, with the resurrection. And to me, that's the way our faith is it doesn't make any sense that it is a going thing and it still exists, other than the fact that the resurrection happened and that these people back then, you know, who had no incentive to push this idea other than the fact that it was true and that they had seen the resurrection, that it's just another, to me, it's just another thing that God's given us to help us, you know, solidify ourselves.
Being a writer myself, I know that a lot goes into building a book and to fruition. How did this thing get started, and how did you proceed to develop it?
All right. So when I started writing it, it was very Shroud centered, and so I had this. Basically, I was going along, and I had this main plot line, and then I had these flashbacks of like historical times in the Shroud's life. What I found out, which is something that you probably know, is that historical fiction is really hard. And I got your book. I haven't finished it or anything. I really like the idea of the James and them being Jesus's stepbrothers.
Right.
I thought that's because I thought it was a cool take, but anyway, it didn't work. And since then, I've read some other books about the Shroud that kind of match up with my original outline. And I read something somewhere where somebody said, when you write a book, if the finished product is the same as what you set out to do, you really didn't learn anything. And so when I knew it wasn't working, I just went back to the drawing board and kind of let the characters run and let it go the way it wanted to go. And so, it took about 4 years just of, I get a few months kind of where work slowed down and I would work on it. And then I'd finish a draft and then I'd run it by like a editor or a friend or something like that and come back to it. But it was a really cool process. I enjoyed it, and I think it turned out well. I'm really happy that, you know, it wasn't like I initially planned it out to be, where okay, this is basically an apologetic for the Shroud of Turin, because that's not what it is. The Shroud of Turin essentially it's kind of prominent at the beginning. And then it kind of turns into a MacGuffin when it gets into the real issues of, okay, this guy has this faith and he's going through all this junk in his life and he can't make any sense of it. But then, you know, in the end, it all kind of starts to fit together.
It is an interactive process, writing. I know that's been my experience. You create something and then it sort of talks back to you, and it makes you rethink mm-hmm. what you put down in the first place, and you sort of go back and forth with your material.
Absolutely.
How is the book to be obtained? Where is it available?
I would say the best way, just go to Amazon and type Stolen Shroud, and it'll be the first one. I have stolenshroud.com. It's available on all the other ones, Barnes & Noble and Kubo and Google and stuff like that. But, you know, Amazon's where pretty much all the sales are. So just Stolen Shroud, yeah.
Is it available in a print edition or?
Yeah, absolutely. It's both. So it's like $3.99 for ebook, and then it's, I don't know, $12.99 or something. And it's print copy as well.
Well, without giving too much away, do they get the shroud back in the end?
You know, they do, but you kind of don't care because you moved on. There's it kind of turns a little sci-fi singularity kind of stuff and fate of the world kind of stuff. And so you do get it, but it's in the epilogue and it's kind of an afterthought.
Well, it sounds like it has many layers, and it should be a very exciting read. Stolen Shroud by Daniel Westland. That's the book, Stolen Shroud by Daniel Westland. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
Find out about it.